You didn't vote for it, but here it comes. Joe Biden, Bill Gates, and Pope Francis roll out the Great Reset, a $1 trillion bid to end sovereignty and take away your car by 2030. But not to worry, Greta Thunberg tells us to follow not the science, but, her metaphors. By the way, did you vote for John Kerry? Me neither. How about Tony Fauci? No? So what's with all these unelected officials handing our country over to the champagne-guzzling billionaires in Davos? Brett Favre says racism wasn't an issue when he was playing football, so why is it dominating sports today? Plus, black Americans speak out against the Soros-backed race war that's tearing our country apart. And finally, great news, a major sign of hope at the end of tonight's program. All that and more tonight from the editor's desk.
Adults keep saying we owe it to the young people to give them hope. But I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day.
In the past, when you're talking about climate change, you have said, quote, I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. What particular study or scientific report did you read that made you come to this conclusion?
First of all, let me just clear that those are metaphors. In speeches, you often use metaphors. Of course, I don't mean literally that I want people to panic.
Oh, I see. Those are metaphors. What is this thing now? They got this thing called climate anxiety.
Psychologists are treating children as young as 10 for mental health issues relating to a fear for the state of the planet. The American Psychological Association has coined the term eco-anxiety to describe the chronic fear of the impact of climate change.
9-year-old kids freaking out, not able to sleep at night because they're worried, and this is a real thing, they're worried the world's going to blow up, mostly because of this unfortunate, abused little child who now we find out is not using science so much as metaphors.
So there was no scientific study that made me come to that conclusion.
Follow the science, or at least the metaphors. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, a little distracted tonight by the video clips. The Michael Matt here coming to you from the offices of the Remnant newspaper once again. What Greta is actually talking about here is Biden's big climate conference, which took place at the White House this week, which now is the kickoff of the Great Reset. Here's Joe.
Well, hello again, everyone.
Welcome back.
As I mentioned this morning, meeting the moment on climate change must begin with a recognition
that every nation has a responsibility
and every nation is at risk.
I don't know what's worse, you know, the leader of the free world trying to get his technology to work, or the leader of the free world reading his teleprompter to see what is going to happen next. Absolutely asinine. And of course, Pope Francis was right there with old Uncle Joe. He came in, he addressed the conference, speaking briefly in Spanish, more or less a blessing, I think, for the entire White House conference. I'm sure Francis was breaking down the pathways to marginalized peripheries where he's going to help out build the common home back better on the peripheries, as long as we're not too rigid, or whatever it is. That
buzzword generator,
exactly. Madness. You got Pope Francis, Bill Gates, Joe Biden, Greta, Al Gore. They're all united now in a common purpose. While the whole world's going to hell and 1 million babies die a year. And your Holy Father's out there just freaking out over the climate change. As we've said before in the past on this program, guess what, Francis? We don't care. We really don't care. Since Sister Mary Carroll's third grade catechism class, we've known this thing is going to come to an end eventually. The world's going to end eventually. If this is it, great. If it's not, great. I couldn't care any less. Really don't care. What we do care about is massive loss of faith, the auto-destruction of the Catholic Church, the slaughter of the unborn. Those are some pretty big issues. Francis doesn't seem to give a rat's lower spinal extremity, does he? Right there with Biden, right there with Gates.
Does this bother you? Of course it does. I think most people now are looking at Francis and saying, what is this thing?
Can we skip to the next one?
Yeah. What is this guy? We're talking about this stuff. You know, I don't think that raising awareness is as important anymore as it was. When we first started talking about the Great Reset, 13 months ago, people didn't know anything about it. Now it's everywhere. People understand. So we're trying to raise awareness, yes, but also we can't just decide that it's over, that these crazy hippie Bond villains are actually going to pull all this off. So we're going to talk tonight about what they're doing, what the latest thing is on the Great Reset, their harebrained reset scheme. And after this quick message now, I'm going to tell you why. I got a lot of hope that these lunatics are not going to succeed. Well, a lot of you have asked for it, and it's finally here. Podcasts of every editor's desk, along with the brand new Michael Matz Show, now available on Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and hosted on Remnant TV's independent player. Our content is secure and available now in a variety of formats. My philosophy is simple: build back better by building back independently on our own systems, our own content delivery networks, with pro-life, pro-God, pro-family service providers. And that's exactly what we're doing. So RTV now can't be canceled, it can't be deplatformed, and I think you appreciate that. Help me fight back. Click the link below, and let's go to war together. Thank you so much for your support so far. Unite the clans. I'm Michael Matt for RTV. Pray for us, and we'll see you on the front lines. So, let's review. Klaus Schwab is 82 years old. Nancy Pelosi, 81 years old. Tony Fauci, 81 years old. Joe Biden is the youngster in this group, 78 years old. Pope Francis, 84 years old. George Soros, a whopping 90 years old. There's your leaders and shakers of the world, friends. Most of them should be in nursing homes at this point, of course. And if these dinosaurs don't close the deal on their Great Reset pretty soon, they're going to be watching Sonny and Cher reruns over at Happy Acres.
Babe. I got you, babe.
After loading up on Geritol, Uncle Joe teleprompted the launch of the Great Reset, again, from a teleprompter. Not really sure what's going on here. He's just reading what he's told, what's put in front of him. Here he is.
The United States sets out on the road to cut greenhouse gases in half by the end of this decade. This is a moral imperative, an economic imperative, a moment of peril, but also a moment of extraordinary possibilities.
And of course, there's a few sane Republican conservative people who said this is going to cost jobs. This is going to cost trillions of dollars. This is going to wreck the infrastructure. This is going to destroy the country. This is going to deep six democracy. No answer. So they send out old John the Catholic Kerry. Comes to the rescue. Ba-dum, ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum. John Kerry is going to explain this for us. Now, again, John Kerry is about 80 years old, but he's got the goods on this thing. And here's what he said.
Increasingly, I see CEOs of major companies around the world beginning to move spontaneously to commit their companies to net zero. The private sector will ultimately, obviously, make its own decisions. But what we're trying to do is galvanize groups of entities to come together, because there's no way any government will find or has the trillions of dollars necessary to effect this transition.
So there you have it, friends. Remember when you thought it was a conspiracy theory? There you go. There's John Kerry telling you exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. Democracy is dead in America if these guys get their way. And when John Kerry says the private sector, not government, will make it so this is going to happen, you know exactly what he means. For one thing, you've been watching this show for a year, so you know exactly what he means by that. He's talking about the global corporations, isn't he? He's talking about Klaus Schwab, the fourth industrial revolution. That guy. You know, stakeholder capitalism. Sorry. Stakeholder capitalism, of course, not capitalism. Anyway, the stuff that nobody actually wants, least of all the American voters. But these guys, they don't care about the American voters. They don't care about democracy. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. These same cats are out there blowing the hell out of the whole world, you know, enforcing democracy at the point of a gun. Now democracy doesn't even matter. Now it's technocracy. They've moved on. They don't care about your right to vote or speak. They do not care about we the people. Of course, you know that. They're not politicians even. John Kerry wasn't elected to anything. But as Joe Biden's climate czar, he's going to reset the whole world.
Life is real. Life is earnest. If you're cold, turn up the furnace.
Tony Fauci isn't elected either, right? He's just the most powerful man in our democracy, even though nobody elected this guy. He's not running for re-election, gets to do whatever he wants. This is how it works now. These guys now, they're not trying to get the Great Reset voted in. They're not trying to sell it to you. They're imposing it on you, whether you like it or not. You know, riding in on their COVID Trojan horse, they actually believe they can shift the governance of the world from countries, from nation states, to one big, gigantic global new world order where corporate elites now will control everything and we the people will have nothing to say about it. I'm not just making fun of them when I talk about how old they are. Think about what they're saying. You got to be a little bit in your dotage, a little bit out of your head to think you can do this. They actually see America in a few years. No cars left. You're not going to own anything and you're going to be happy, they tell us. And you may have some computer appendages stuck to your head, some machinery. You know, as I said last time, on your head. That's what they want. So their age is relevant. We're dealing with people who are nuts. And they're in incredibly powerful positions. You know, that's why they're tearing down the Constitution right now. Because those are the protections for us. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the American Founding. They say it's racist. And so if you object to the Great Reset, what are you? You're a racist, of course. So you can't object to the Great Reset because the Great Reset is going to be all about equity and inclusiveness, which means if you're against it, you're opposed to equity and inclusiveness. And who is against equity and inclusiveness other than racists? You're a racist. Ergo, Joe Biden's out there every night mumbling and bumbling along about America's systemic racism as he does his prompter. Cops are racist. Trump was a racist, he reads. Why? Why is he doing this? For one thing, he's empowering every thug in the street of America to take a cop out. We know that. He's absolutely, by saying cops are racist, and we'll get into this in the next show. We're going to do a show on racism. But by doing this, this incredibly irresponsible Team Biden is empowering every thug in the street of America to take on a cop. You know that. But the reason he's doing it politically is because the Great Reset depends on destabilization. And what better way to destabilize us than to pit us against each other over something we cannot change, the color of our skin? You know, you're just a racist. And if you say you're not a racist, that's just more proof that you are. You see, because racism is encoded so deeply in your DNA as a white person that you don't even know it's there anymore. You're a sick person. You're a very sick person. And sick people cannot be trusted with anything, especially the vote, especially self-rule. You know, you are the problem precisely because you can't see the problem that you are. You're drunk and you're screaming down the freeway at 100 miles an hour. And somebody's got to stop you. This is what they're saying. This is what they think. Take you out of it because you're a harm and you're a hazard to yourself. So enter the superheroes of Davos. Now, these guys don't care that you're not a racist. They know darn well that that's not really what this is about because they invented this whole thing. Well, everybody's a racist. Even Klaus Schwab, who wants Ubermensches and Supermen, he's not a racist. He understands a little something about racism. It's not real. They know that as Christians, for example, we can easily prove that we're not racist. We're not going to because we're pandering to them if we try. But it's just a matter of logic that as a Christian, a follower of Christ, if you got a problem with another man's skin color, you got a problem with Christ. You got a problem with God. He created that man's skin color. You see? That's just logic. But logic doesn't matter. You see, they're just using the media and now the president of the United States to pit black and white Americans against each other to keep us distracted by keeping us at each other's throats so we don't know what's going on. And one of the things we can do down here at the level of the street, go out. If you're white, go talk to your black neighbors. If you're black, go talk to your white neighbors. Come together right now. Do not let them make you into the pawns they want you to be, the gullible little pawns. Do not let them put you back on the plantation, which is what they want. They're using you if you're black in America right now. They're crushing white people. They're using black people. They are the racists. We can beat them because there are more of us than there are of them. What happens if black and white Americans wake up in time? What happens if we join together? What happens if we turn against them? And what happens is the same thing that happened to COVID when Texas opened up their bars and their restaurants and their stadiums just a little bit too soon before they had globalist permission to do so. And COVID went awfully quiet on Texas, didn't it? Because they said to the globalists, go to hell. We're opening the stadiums. Black and white Americans have the same ability right now, the same power, the same opportunity right now. If we pan back those cameras over Minneapolis or over Brooklyn Center here in Minnesota, you know what we see, friends? You know what you see down there? You see a small little group of Marxist activists making scary TV shows down there in the streets. Now, they don't want you to see that. They want you to see this.
Let me give you a look at the precinct. Stike's going to come with me and show you. You can see people walking because anything that you see how hazy it is? That is all tear gas, and it is extremely strong. If you look just now, I'm going to try to sort of stand in the street a little bit. You look there. Now you can see. Now you can see.
You can see y'all be twisting up the stories.
You want to talk to me? Do you want to talk to me? Okay, cool. Don't take my mic, but we're cool. Okay. What's your name?
What's my name? My name is my name.
All right. So tell me what you think about what's going on.
What I think about this is all the press and all the extra shit y'all do makes this worse.
Expletives notwithstanding, I quite agree with this gentleman. He's absolutely right. He's calling out CNN for the fake news operatives that they are. Because CNN, fake news, CNN is making the news. They're not reporting on it. And there's a big difference. Black America was not out there in my city screaming the F-bombs at police and burning the place down. Those are Soros-backed operatives. Those are Marxists. Real people, real black Americans, are mortified by how they're being exploited.
It is a constant chicken circuit, and black folk, we are used because we emotional. As soon as it's about color, I mean, y'all, we will turn something up. And then you got your white liberals who love it. They like, yeah, that's right. They treat you guys bad. Let's burn the city down. They don't got nothing else to do with their life. They standing outside. Oh, you know, that's our way of releasing ourselves as black people. That's our rage. We're frustrated. So let's just go burn the city down. So you know what? Democrats bank on that. You know, these niggas is monkeys. Everything else, LGBTQ is priority right now. You think they give a damn about black folk? LGBTQ is priority. Abortion clinics. We are dying. We're killing ourselves off. It was 22 million babies 3 years ago. It's probably like 30 million gone. Generation upon generation upon generation gone. Where the black people at to stand for that? If anything, before y'all standing outside looting for George Floyd, why y'all not at the abortion clinics? We are killing ourselves.
Now, we're not supposed to listen to this lady. No. She's making way too much sense. You see, she's not part of the show. So, Facebook, Twitter, you better kick her off the set. She's distracting us from the program. You know? Because what we need to do right now is we need to just get triggered. We need to get triggered by the wizard. Pay no attention to the black people behind the curtain. Pay no attention to Justice Clarence Thomas, Larry Elder, Leo Terrell, Shelby Steele, Herman Cain, Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, Herschel Walker, Alan Keyes, Alan West, Elveda King, Diamond and Silk, Officer Tatum, the Hodge twins, brilliant black American thinkers who put the lie to the Soros, Biden, Davos race war that's going on right now. Guys like Dr. Ben Carson. You see, Dr. Ben Carson's skin color just doesn't matter, does it? Because he's not buying into the critical race war theory.
Well, you know, what is so serious here is that we are doing exactly what needs to be done to move to socialism and communism. And that is replacing God with government.
Amen.
And as government expands, as Ronald Reagan said, our freedoms decrease.
And Candace Owens, she's another one. Mm-mm-mm. She just doesn't. Oof, we got to shut her up. We got to ban her Facebook, because Candace, you know, she could single-handedly take down the entire PSYOP. And she's doing a pretty darn good job of doing it right now.
People are not awake to what the Democrat strategy is here. You know, they use people that are false prophets like LeBron James to propagate a lot of these lies, particularly the Black Lives Matter lie. That seems to be almost the biggest one. The race lie has been permeating throughout every element of culture.
She's exactly right. Even in sports now, dominated by race politics. You don't think this happened by accident, do you? Because I would say the NBA, the NFL, despite all of its problems, and we all know there's a lot of them, we're boycotting them right now, in fact. But back in the day, those sporting organizations in America, they showcased how successful the civil rights movement had been in this country from the start. Millions of Americans cheering on these guys, playing on the gridiron. We didn't care what color skin they were. We didn't notice. The civil rights movement worked. And the NFL and the NBA proved it. And now they come along and they're throwing a wrench into the whole thing. And, oh, no, you guys are getting along. We're not going to allow that to happen. We need this to be about race. We need you polarized. We need you at each other's throats. Who did this to us? Who did this to our country? I'm an old guy, so I'm going to date myself. But do you remember Joe Montana and Jerry Rice playing on Sunday afternoons for San Francisco? Do you remember this? Now, who the hell in those years was thinking about the skin color of the greatest quarterback wide receiver tandem in history? Who was thinking about this? I can answer that. Nobody was. We were just amazed by their talent, by the power and the beauty of the accomplishments of a well-trained athlete. And now they say, oh, it's race. That's all that everybody was always talking about race. Even back in the day, nobody was talking about it because racism was so bad. He just didn't bring it. Really? Really? So the legendary quarterback, Brett Favre, who played for the Packers and is a pretty smart guy, played for whatever, 50 years or something and never missed a game, he somehow didn't notice that it was all about race?
You know, you were always known as a big locker room guy, a leader of men type. Look, so many of the great American athletes are black guys. You played with some of the greats, Reggie White and Antonio Freeman and all this. When you were in the locker room, was there the kind of tension there now seems to be? I mean, a lot of the politics, as American politics always does, it revolves around race. Did you see that in the locker room when you were playing?
Absolutely not. We were in something together. We fought together. We won together. We lost together. And we truly were a family.
So again, what happened, friends? I can tell you, you know what happened. Public education happened. Race became the issue that they were going to use to trash this country. The media happened. Critical race theory happened. Social engineering happened. And here's the thing, friends. Here's where we can just back out of this. It's all a lie. It's all a gigantic lie. You're not going to die of COVID. The planet's not going to burn up anytime soon. Remember when Al Gore said by 2013 the polar ice caps are going to be underwater? Throw that graphic up. He was wrong. They've been peddling this crap forever. When I was a kid, it was an ice age. We were supposed to buy parkas and get big, you know, big polar bear mittens because everything was going to freeze pretty soon. See, the planet's not going to burn up, friends. It's part of the game. And here's good news. You are not a racist. America is the least racist country in the world. But right now, these people are trying to change that. They show scary pictures of black people on TV every night trying to trigger white people into hate. You see, they're telling the black people, the white people have been picking on you, pushing you down forever. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't even exist, right? That's what they're saying. That's how they're behaving. No matter what he did, he's long gone and dead. He accomplished nothing, is what they're saying to black America. And all of this, friends, it's not real. This is the theater of the mind control. Theater of the mind control. Brainwashing. the Great Reset crowd, what do they want? They want to tear us all down. They want to make us hate each other. They want to enslave every one of us. And people are waking up to this. I just read the other day, we'll put a link down below, from something called the Magyar Nemzet, which is a Hungarian newspaper close to Viktor Orban, who so far is holding his own. He was like, we all thought he'd probably be the next Trump. They'll take him down. We'll see what's going to happen. So far, holding his own. And this newspaper calls what's happening in Davos right now. You know what they call it? This is a major newspaper in Hungary. They call what's happening Davos-era neo-communism, which is exactly what it is. People are waking up. In the March 2021 edition of this newspaper, I'll put it again down below, they published what they call the Schwabian Great Reset, exposing the Davos plot to establish a what they call new transhumanist world order. All right? Major newspaper in Hungary. This new world order is going to be under the transnational governance of the Schwabians, of corporations. The Schwabians, says the Magyar Nemzet, quote, want to replace democracy with complex governance, prioritize technocracy over elections and MPs, and emphasize expertise that the general public doesn't understand, end quote. And comically and incredibly, even our buddy old Boris Johnson, UK Prime Minister, doesn't quite seem to understand what these guys are all about. Because in 2020, he boycotted Davos because, as he put it, our focus is on delivering for the people, not champagne with billionaires. To which I say, there you go, Boris. I just kind of comb that hair a little bit, take off the mask, and liberate London from those same champagne-guzzling billionaires. Because you know what? There's going to be a war. There's a war coming. We're just now. That's why it's so important, friends, to take the mask off and understand what it means.
You're still going to wear a mask on your face every day, 5 and 6 year olds. You still can't play together on the playground like normal children, 7 and 8 year olds. We don't care. We're still going to force you to carry a burden that was never yours to carry. Shame on us. It's April 15th, 2021, and it's time. Take these masks off of my child.
They're trying to muzzle us and keep us in fear long enough to get their Great Reset a done deal, a fait accompli. But there's going to be a war. People are waking up. Trump, Donald Trump, is still the most powerful Republican in America. Isn't that something? Still the most powerful Republican. And he's looking for paybacks, baby. He's not going anywhere. Added to that, good news, CNN's ratings now are plummeting.
It is no secret, at least if you're watching Rising, that cable news ratings have plummeted since Trump left office. It appears CNN in particular has taken a massive hit. After averaging nearly 2.2 million viewers in the first 3 weeks of 2021, the network has, quote, averaged just 1 million viewers since Biden took office. That is a staggering decline of 54%.
And I'm going to close with this. I promised you good news tonight. And this, to me, is beyond good news. This is like a sign from heaven. Notre Dame de Paris, the cathedral, great cathedral, medieval cathedral in Paris, in France, it's coming back to life. Now, you remember what happened when it burned? We all had our theories for what was going on there, that it was the end of the world, and, you know, it burned a couple years ago. I sat right here, and I predicted that God would not allow the cathedral to be desecrated by Emmanuel Macron's socialist government. Now, a lot of you got mad at me for that, remember? Because you thought they were going to put a Starbucks up there on top of Notre Dame. Now, you know why I predicted this? I predicted that it would be restored exactly as it had been, because this is what was going on while she was burning. As I said, we're traditional Catholics. We're staying involved in politics all day long. We're going to support Trump. We're going to fight like hell out here. But we're bringing the fundamental truths of Christianity with us, because that ultimately is the only way out of this. For 30 years. Now, this sounds like a pretty amazing thing. How did Michael Matt know that the Cathedral of Notre Dame was going to be rebuilt exactly as it had been? Well, I'll tell you how. Because for 30 years, I'd started from that building and walked to the city of Chardon pilgrimage, 70-mile pilgrimage, 30 years, 30 times in a row. Now, you're not going to hear this on Fox News, but see, we're not doing Fox. We're trying to tell you what ultimately we want to give you the information and then ultimately provide the solution, you know, Because what we're talking about here at Remnant TV is the ultimate solution that nobody, I mean nobody, dares touch on cable or network news. You stay away from the answer, which is God. The spiritual answer. The spiritual war. The crusade. Stay away from that. And yet we're up against demons. This makes no sense, does it? So for 30 years, I had real world. I was honored to have real world experience with a massive Christian revival movement in France. It's still going on. And it was based on that experience that it was easy for me to predict in writing and video, if anybody wants to verify this, 2 years ago, that Notre Dame would be rebuilt exactly as she had been, as a sign to the world on how we get out of this, by getting back on our knees, by praying our beads, by keeping the faith, by becoming fundamentally true to Christianity once again. The thing that Davos is hoping to crush forever. I'm not surprised, but I'm delighted to report that right now, the French are cutting down thousands of oak trees to rebuild the forest. They called it the forest, the old medieval roof and ceiling of Notre Dame.
In a forest south of Le Mans, France, a harvest of mighty oaks is underway. The first of 200-year-old trees needed to rebuild the spire and roof support beams destroyed by the fire. In all, 1,000 trees will be needed.
Notre Dame de Paris, my friends, will reopen in all her medieval Catholic grandeur and glory in 2024.
Reconstructing the spire and replacing the interior roof beams using the oak that is now being cut, exactly in the same fashion as those that were destroyed in the fire.
There were hundreds of ideas from the public suggesting more modern ways to rebuild Notre Dame, but in the end, President Macron decided that it should be rebuilt exactly as it was.
You're looking for a sign? There's one. There's a sign. God wins in the end. And these fools, these degenerate, Christophobic fools, these 80-year-old hippies trying to take over the world right now, they're going to become the laughingstock of history. You think Pope Francis can destroy the Catholic Church? Are you kidding me? Look at this guy. You think he can destroy it? They're going to fall flat on their faces, friends. Yes, we got to inform ourselves. Yes, we got to spread the word. Yes, we got to pull our heads out from under the sand. And we got to fight. But these people will fail. Christianity, like Notre Dame Cathedral, is going to rise up out of the ashes of the New World Order. It's just a matter of when. So keep the faith. Pray your beads. Yes, unite the clans. And tell the globalists to go reset themselves. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV, and we'll see you next time.